want to say I appreciate everyone's questions and concerns this week, and no, I won't be singing a special, so you can rest. Brother Henry and I will have to do that out in the parking lot, maybe, I don't know. But anyway, I love the Lord, and that's Psalm 116:1, if you didn't know that. That's one of my favorite verses, and I have others that are in the Bible. There's a lot of the verses are my favorites, and but that one, I love the Lord. It's just a simple thing that was one of the bumper stickers. Not one for bumper stickers, but I saw one once that said, "I'm not religious, I just love the Lord." So that's that here. But I wanted to just talk about how I kind of came to this meeting. I was raised Roman Catholic and went through the schools and everything, but realized as I got older there was nothing there for me. Got away from it. I did end up getting saved, though, in a Baptist church, and the pastor asked me, "Are you saved?" And I, you know, being a good Roman Catholic boy, I said, "What's that?" I had no idea what it was to be saved after being in that religion. So he explained it to me, and I would want to say it here for everyone that's here or listening, that it's easy. You just believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you're saved. That you believe that God sent his only begotten Son to die on a cross for our sins, and say, "Lord, I'm a sinner. I need you as my Savior." And you'll become a child of God, and you're saved. So it's that simple. But from there, I was going to a Lutheran church for a while, and Mark Bradley invited me to this church. And so I came here, and I remember hearing this old preacher up here pounding on this pulpit, and powerful man, you know, bringing forth the word and with passion, and people in the congregation saying amen and praise the Lord, glory to God. And I'm like, you know, and raised Catholic, you're supposed to be quiet in church. What is all this, you know? And I went from that, you know, after being there, I thought, you know, well, that's good for those people. That's not for me, though, you know. And, but, you know, I came to a crisis in my life soon after that. And I had to make a decision, and I just didn't know which way to go. And the Lord spoke to my heart, and there's answers for you in that place. And I came back. And it wasn't this preacher up here that was drawing me back. It wasn't the congregation, the people that drew me back, or this building. It was the Word of God that gripped my heart and drew me back here. And I knew there was answers for me here. And when I sat there that day and Brother Hill was preaching that message, it was like he was talking just to me. And I'm sure many of you, maybe all of you, have had that experience. And it's a wonderful thing. You feel like, I don't know what all these other people are doing here. This sermon's for me. He's talking right to me. And you know, just it was the gist of it was, you know, just surrender your life to the Lord. And he'll take care of it. You can't do it on your own strength. Just come up to the altar and say, "Lord, I want you to take over my life and have your way with me." And he'll do it. And I did, and he's been the faithful one all these many years. It hasn't been my faithfulness. I've failed, and I've stumbled, and I'd gave up on myself many times. Even last week I said that. At work I was struggling. I'm like, "Lord, why do you put up with me?" So long suffering. Yeah. But he's been the faithful one. And you think of how wonderful it is that that guy that was back there saying, "This ain't for me," now he's up here preaching. Wow. God can do anything. Praise the Lord. So I came here and loved the Word, but I never even owned a Bible. And Brother Bobby Steiger got me a Bible, a Dixon Bible, and it was wonderful because it had outlines in a dictionary. If I didn't know a word, I could look it up in a dictionary. It had cross references. If I saw something I didn't quite understand, I could reference another verse. And it really was a wonderful thing for a young Christian. And I wanted to grow and take in the Word. It really, the Lord got a hold of my heart. And one thing that was most wonderful to me was that I realized that the stories in this Bible aren't just stories. They really happen. And if you want to look at 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 11, It says, now all these things happened unto them for ensamples, and they are written for our admonition upon the whom the ends of the world are come. But that phrase, all these things happened unto them. You know, Noah actually built an ark and gathered all the animals in there, and the earth was flooded. And Moses took the, you know, there was the plagues in Egypt. They really happened. God took him out and took him through the Red Sea on dry ground. He actually parted the waters. There was a man named Goliath that was a giant. And David took a sling and a stone and killed him. These really happened. And to me, that was such a revelation because they were always just stories to me. But when I found out they were real, you could imagine the change it makes in your life. Oh, wow, these things really happened. And as it says here, they were written for our admonition. It was written to encourage me, to encourage us. And I'm so thankful to know that this word is true. And if you want to turn to 2 Peter chapter 1, I put marks in my Bible, or pages marks this time, because I can turn faster than you guys this way. But in 2 Peter chapter 1, starting in verse 16, Peter confirms this. We have not followed cunningly devised fables. This book isn't fables. When we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his mercy, or his majesty. For he received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. And this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with him in the holy mount. And just to add to that, John also says that he says, we have heard him, we've seen him with our eyes, we've looked upon him, our hands have handled the word of life. So you think of all these things that Peter mentions here, that we saw him, we're eyewitnesses of Jesus. We heard this voice from heaven saying, this is my son. We saw him on the Mount of Transfiguration when his face just shined like the sun. These were wonderful things. But then he goes on here to say in 1 Peter verse 19 there, we have also a more sure word of prophecy. The word of God is more sure than what they saw and felt and heard. And that's the way it is. This you can be deceived. In fact, this day is, and the day is coming more and more, but there's a deception. And the Antichrist is going to come, and one of his biggest tools is deception. He's going to imitate Christ, and people are going to fall for it. They're not. It's because the saying used to be, because people don't know their Bibles. Well, people don't have Bibles. People don't know the Bible. They just don't know. And so they don't know the Word of God. They're going to be deceived. So Peter says, you know, we saw this. We've heard these things. We felt them. But that's not what really matters. What matters is the Word of God. That's the more sure word of prophecy. Whereunto you do well that you take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and a day star arise in your hearts, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. And that was something that I wondered, like, is this Bible really the Word of God? Is it really the inspired Word of God? And I studied into that and looked into it, and this Bible was written over approximately 1,600 years by about 40 different men, and it's all harmonious. It doesn't contradict itself, and you try to put people, 40 different guys, whether they lived in the same day, let alone 400 years apart, and they're different, you know, backgrounds, occupations, and times they lived in, places they lived in. They wrote this book, and it's totally in harmony, inerrant. And that has to be the Word of God. It's the only way that could happen, that could be that way, because man couldn't do that. And I also thought about this, the Word of God, is that one of the biggest evidences to me that this is the Word of God, if you study it and believe it, it is going to change your life. It'll change you, like I said, from the guy in the back saying, that's not for me, to being up here preaching. I still marvel at that. But it'll change your life. It'll give you more love, you'll have compassion for others, understanding. You see what the Lord's doing. It gives you humbleness. It will change your life and for the better. Praise the Lord. So, but here it says these men were, it wasn't their own words they were putting down. They were moved by the Holy Ghost. So the author of this book is really the Holy Ghost. And as I wondered about the Bible and I came to this meeting, I was encouraged to be filled with the Holy Ghost. And you get filled with the Holy Spirit, that's when you really start to understand these scriptures. Because he wrote it, and he'll open your eyes to what it's actually saying. Because there's a lot of winds of doctrine out there, and people take things out of context and mess with you. And I even had that with some of the people I came across that were Christians, and they would, I was a new Christian, baby Christian, and they would tell me different things, and they'd tell me how you could lose your salvation. And they'd show me scriptures, and I'd go, gosh, it does look like you can lose your salvation. And I came to the meeting here with these questions, and I would talk to the ministers or the elders, you know, and ask them, and they would take me aside and say, look, well, here's what this is talking about. You know, you can't lose your salvation. And they would explain it to me and bring out the truth of it. And when the word of God is rightly divided, you see that it's the truth. You can't lose your salvation. And it was wonderful. And I actually had an experience kind of like an opposite to this when there was a Baptist church where we used to live about a block away, and they were having a Thursday night meeting. And I thought, well, I'm going to go check out that church. And I went there and heard what they were teaching, and I just went, golly. Went home and wrote down a bunch of scriptures and went back again, and I wanted to talk to the pastor, and I had, you know, because they were talking about, you know, there's no such things as ranks in the resurrection, and I wanted to show him these scriptures and have him explain to me. He said, I don't want to look at that. I've heard all that stuff. I don't want to even talk about it. And I thought, how sad is that? You know, if you can't back up what you're preaching, you shouldn't be preaching. And I was so thankful that when I came here with questions and asked some of the elders or whatever, they didn't say, nah, you dummy, just stick around, you'll figure it out or whatever. They took me aside and explained it to me. And if you know the truth, you can stand for it. You can explain it to someone, and you can be confident in it. And I think that's part of another reason this guy didn't want to talk to me, because I'm pretty sure he couldn't have backed up what he was preaching. Because I knew the truth, and I knew that you couldn't, that there was ranks and whatever. Just on, I'm so thankful for those that are not too up, you know, full of themselves, that they can't lower them and speak with someone that has questions. But as I came here, I wanted to take in the Word of God and grow and learn more. And I found out that without faith, it's impossible to please God. And you hear it all the time here. How do you get faith? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So you take in the Word and you grow, and you, as the scripture on the front steps there says, grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So you can't just, by the way, just take in the knowledge and just learn the truth. You've got to have the grace with it. And our brother Henry talked about grace, and it's wonderful as you take in and learn the grace of God, you get a revelation and you think, so wonderful, and then time later something will be a sermon or something will happen and the Lord will show you, and it's like, wow, the grace of God is so much more. And then it's so much more. And it goes on and on. And as we've heard this weekend, in the ages to come, he's going to show the exceeding riches of his grace. The grace of God is not something you're going to comprehend in this lifetime. It's just something that keeps building and building. But it's so wonderful. And the Lord amazes me with his grace. But you have to grow in grace and knowledge. You can't just grow in knowledge, because knowledge can puff you up. But love edifies. And we talked about that too, the building of the body of Christ. We edify one another in love, build each other up. So thank the Lord. And also that we read in 2 Peter 3:18, or I'm sorry, that's the other verse, Galatians 5:6, faith worketh by love. So if you have faith, it's got to be by love. You're going to take in the Word of God, knowledge, speaking the truth in love, Ephesians 4:15. You can hear the truth. Someone can preach the truth, but they can not preach it in love. It can come across really hard, and it can push you away and turn you away. But You think of, if you look at the preaching of Jesus, he didn't preach a hard, cold message. He was open to those. He preached love. He wasn't, the only ones that he was harsh on were the ones that totally hated him and rejected him. And that was the religious ones of the day that the people looked up to as being the ones that they were supposed to be godly, but they weren't. They hated the Lord. They wanted the attention themselves. So we want to preach the truth in love. And so turn over to John 14. And thinking of the Word of God and love, in John 14, 21, Jesus says, "He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him." Judas saith unto him, not Iscariot, "Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us and not unto the world?" Jesus answered and said unto him, "If a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him." And these, just some of these words that you read here, like, he will keep my word. That word keep isn't like a flawless obedience, you know, where you never mess up. Keep means to guard the word of God, to treasure it, to keep your eye on it, you know. Like you have a little child around a house, you keep your eye on that kid. You don't want him to get into something that can hurt him. You know, you love that person. So the word of God, to keep his words, is to love it. And when he says, if he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, well, he first loved us. We didn't love him first. He first loved us, and then we love him. But he says, he that keepeth my commandments, is that, that's not talking about the Ten Commandments. Jesus took those Ten Commandments and he nailed them to his cross. He took them out of the way. That those commandments are, and I lost my marker here, but in John, again, here it is, 1 John 3:23. "This is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave us commandment." So we do have a commandment to believe in Jesus and love one another. And God's going to test us on that. I've had someone ask me, and I've told you about this before, someone, "Is there anyone you don't love?" And you're like, "Ah, yeah." Now, I looked at Bob, but I do love you, Bob. I don't know why I just looked at you. But anyway, God will put someone in your life that you can't love. But it's his love. Our love's not going to cut it. But the love of God shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit will make you love everybody. And you'll love those that you couldn't love otherwise. So thank the Lord. He puts his heart, his love in our hearts. And that's the commandment, that we love one another. And it's not a hard thing to do when it's his love. The love of God makes it easy to love everybody. And I love you, and I want to say that I do love the saints here. I think, as I've mentioned before, that when you get in this pulpit, there's an anointing comes on you, but it's not that I can be anointed to be an eloquent preacher. The words, I want to mention something and bring a point across, and I don't know the words to say it, but the anointing that comes upon me is to love, the more and more love I have for the saints here. And I'm just so thankful for that. It's amazing to me, and I thank the Lord how he does that. But thinking of love, let's turn over to Revelation 2. You know, I love you. I love my wife. I love my family, my pastor. I love greatly. But Jesus is my first love. And in Revelation 2, we read about this wonderful church of Ephesus. Starting in verse 1, "Unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write, These things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. I know thy works, and thy labor, and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil, and thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars, and hast borne, and hast patience, and for my name's sake hast labored, and hast not fainted. Those are wonderful things to say about an assembly. But then verse 4, nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. And this is the time we're living in. We're living in the time of the first love. That's what you have, the preeminent love for Jesus. Beyond everything else, beyond even your own life, that you love the Lord. That was a verse was quoted this week that Job said, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. And what the Lord, whatever he takes you through, and you know it's him taking you through. I had, if you'd have heard my sermon about having to be going to jury duty, I did not want to do that with all my being. And I knew the Lord had it for me. It was tough. But I love the Lord. And I knew he was working something in my life, and he'll do that with you. He'll bring you to places beyond your comfort zone, for sure. And to prove, you know, like he took Israel to the wilderness, he says, that, to prove, you know, whether you're going to obey me and love me, whether you love the Lord. It's not any kind of a punishment or anything like that, but it's to prove. And it's not proven how faithful you are, it's proven how faithful he is what's going to happen there. So, first love. We want Jesus to be our first love always, and it's not hard when you know who he is, and you get to know him. It's easy to have him first in your life. But thinking of that being first, and Matthew 6 was a verse that was a portion of scripture that was very dear to me when I was going through a tough time with my business, and we almost went out of business. My top two customers went out of business, and people were encouraging me to pack it up before I lost it all. But Jesus talked about this, you know, towards the end of the chapter in Matthew 6, he says in verse 31, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. And I was able to encourage those I worked with, you know, we just seek the Lord and put him first. He knows what we need. Put him first. And that's, you know, if I was to ever give advice to anyone, it'd be put the Lord first in your life. We come to things, we have decisions to make, we have so many things to do, and these days are busy, busy. I keep thinking of that saying that says that, you know, well, once you get past this, things will get better. And you say that over and over till you die. It just doesn't slow down. It keeps ramping up and getting better. And you think, I've got so much to do, and how am I going to get this done? Put the Lord first. Put him first. He's the only one that can make these things work out, you know. Jared mentioned about a man's heart devises his way, but the Lord directs his steps. And you know, we can plan and plan, and it's okay to plan, but realize that our plans, sometimes man plans and God laughs. Because he's like, that's not happening. And it's wonderful, because his ways are best. So you always put the Lord first and know that he's got it. And you can put your confidence in him, and whichever way he directs your steps is going to be for your good. All things work together for our good, to them that love God and are the called according to his purpose. And what a wonderful thing to put him first and let him guide you in all your decisions and all your things. And then just one more, thinking of first, is back to Revelation 4. In verse 1, John says, after this, and this is after this, looking back at the church age, after this I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven, and the first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet. And I just love the wording of the word of God in Revelation here. You know, he doesn't just say, and I heard a voice. He says, the first voice. The first trumpet I heard. And what does he hear it say? Come up hither. That's what we're listening for right now. We're listening for that first trumpet that's and that voice saying, come up hither. Jesus is about to come. And I'm so thankful to live in this time, to be a part of this message that we're looking and loving his appearing. And as our pastor said, it's not just his appearing in the air, but his appearing in the saints. And it's wonderful to see the Lord in your lives, changing you and changing us from glory to glory. And I'm so thankful. And we keep saying it, Lord, even so, come right now. Hallelujah. I hope this has been an encouragement to you. And thank the Lord for his grace and the vessels of mercy.